Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and we are here with our episode 6 of Survivor 46 recap. A little bit later than usual, I was at Ron Clark's Survivor party. If you ever get a chance to go to a Ron Clark Survivor party, I cannot recommend it enough. He hosted it at his Ron Clark Academy, and it was seriously like one of the most fun Survivor parties I've ever been to in my entire life. Wow. Might be the most fun one. It was great.
Most fun?
Dude, it was great. Like, he made a whole event of it to a level that I just was not expecting. It was a great time all around. Was super impressed. Huge shout out to Ron for getting that done. If you're in the Atlanta area, if you're even remotely close, I drove up. My wife and I happened to be going to Durham this week anyway, and we were going to drive. And so I drove up from South Florida. And I was like, I guess I can make that little trip over. I'm so happy I did. Part of me was talking myself out of it. I'm so grateful I did, because it really was just an amazing time. So many Survivor alumni there. And just to have, like, just to see, like, Ron, Davey was there. I hadn't seen Davey in years, so that's always a good time. Thunderwood was there. So, you know, anytime you get to name drop Thunderwood. And Reem, who got probably the biggest cheer out of everybody, was there, which is always funny because Reem's just is that person. So, yeah, that's where I was. So that's why we're a little bit late. And I feel like that was a really good episode. I feel like that was probably the best Mergatory episode we've ever had.
Honestly, I was thinking through kind of the other Mergatories and how the numbers have shaken out. And I don't think we've had one quite as compelling as this one, just in terms of the breakdown of the tribes. I mean, to go 5-5-3 alone is very interesting. But then the way the group split at the challenge, that we had all three Yanu members be completely safe, not even eligible to be voted for, and then have it be an even 3-3 between the two tribes that had five people. I mean, it really led to a kind of a weird, unique vote and the reasons we were voting for people. And, you know, I don't know if Mo necessarily got screwed here, but it just felt like Sega as a whole, you know, I often, when watching Survivor, it's like when anyone gets their name written down or they're not let in on a vote, they're like, screw these guys, I'm a free agent. We hear that every time. And I often look at that as a little bit of a flaw, that, hey, you have to be open and willing to work with people, for people that have lied to you or voted against you. That is Survivor. That's the nature of the game. And people are so quick to just be like, nope, you're on my list, I'm coming after you. Free agent. And I was really proud and really happy that Mo is like, you know what? They didn't include me. Jem's gone. But guess what? I still have this game left. If I'm going to get anywhere, I need to stick with these people, because they are four people strong. And that ended up completely being her downfall.
Yeah.
And why she got eliminated. I don't necessarily know if it's a wrong move. I just think with the way the numbers shook out, it was very clear that Nami had so many cracks and that Tevin and Hunter were so quick. And I'm sure Soda was too. I don't know where Liz was this whole episode, but it was so clear that Venus was not vibing with that tribe. Yet, Sega, we've heard it all season, they are the vibes tribe. Mm-hmm. That became threatening. And they said, well, hey, if you guys aren't going to toss out a name, this is that hard for you. That means you are a very, very strong five. You're going around lying to everyone, saying that the vote before was unanimous when it was not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's necessarily wrong, but just here in these circumstances, that's what did them in. And I don't know if we've seen something like this before, that a tribe came in too loyal and too strong, and that's what messed them up.
Yeah, and that was the exact reason. Like, I know you just said that, but it is crazy to think that there really was no other reason behind this except we were so threatened by the fact that you all liked each other a lot that we had no choice but to make this move. Because had Ben thrown out Mariah's name earlier, I actually think Mo might survive this. But Ben didn't want to throw her name out. Nobody else in that tribe wanted to throw her name out. And it was so obvious that Venus sucked. And it almost felt like that started to become part of Venus's strategy and part of like Hunter's strategy of the way that they were talking about Venus. They wanted to make it clear that, hey, we don't really get along with Venus. It doesn't work. And they leaned into it so hard that it almost felt like they were using that to their benefit knowingly. Even if they don't necessarily think they're going to work with Venus, they still have that option available. Yeah. Venus is still in the game and Venus still has that option available. Venus realized that her best move was to really lean into, I hate these people. I don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, I don't know if that was so much strategy. I think maybe on day one or day two, everyone's kind of feeling each other out. And it was very evident in this 90-minute episode, all the conversations we saw, that, you know, we saw Q going up and talking to the Sega members. We saw Venus trying to get in with the Sega members. And it was just so clear that they're like, you know, we're all good. Like, we like each other. Like, there aren't cracks. And I think that might have been something they realized, or, hey, maybe it was after the challenge, you know, that second or third day, whatever day it was. And they realize, hey, like, that's our ammo right there. The fact that Sega is trying to hold together five people and that we can just bring in all the Yanu people and that we have Venus just, like, clearly not with us. Who knows what Liz is doing again? She just didn't hear anything from Liz all night other than that she's 5 foot tall. I think those are the only words that she said all episode. But to be like, we're full of cracks. Like, Tevin and Hunter were so quick to throw her out that it was a benefit. And I just wonder, moving forward, if this is something that maybe tribes will look at the mergatory. I mean, can you think of this happening? I know on our predictions and power rankings, this is very much what we talked about, that, hey, every tribe needs to kind of have one person that they are willing to throw out. We're moving forward into the next stage. If you are going to integrate with the other two tribes, I will say this too. Three tribe format, I know we're tired of it. I know we're sick of it. It does, there is a reason they continue to do it. There's a reason that Jeff really likes it. And I think it's for these merge episodes and these, you know, especially early merge episodes where it becomes really murky of where the power lies, the relationships lie, and all of this. I guess the only thing here is that we only had two targets. We only had Mo and Venus. I was kind of surprised that a third name was never thrown out.
Charlie's name was the third one, and somebody had posted here. Deemer said, and let's give Charlie some credit for nullifying a potential shot in the dark, taking him out. He played it right, and he hadn't even seen season 45 yet. So I guess Charlie's vote was the one that went on to Venus in this episode. Everybody else voted for Mariah, and I guess it was
a dog pile.
It must have been incredibly obvious to every single person playing that it was going to be Mariah, including Mariah. And that's why Charlie said, you know what, if there's going to be a stray vote, it could come at me, or on a revote, people might try to take me out because I'm the next biggest Sega target. So absolutely, he's making sure Venus goes home. We saw Jay Maya not do this last season, and Jay Maya ultimately went home. Now, Charlie never saw that, so it is a great heads-up play by him. But it is just funny to see two same exact scenarios of the person saying, I think it's going to be the other person, not me. But Charlie saying, well, but if the other person shot in the dark is ultimately good, the next one in line is me. So I don't have a choice
It would be a Sega member. It would be – that's what it came down to. We're voting off a Sega tonight, and – it was kind of funny, Venus, because we did have two names for so long. It was Venus or Mariah for, you know, a hefty portion of our build a tribal here. our pre-tribal scene. And usually when it happens, I'm just kind of waiting, like, when's the third name going to come up? And then it was like, oh, Charlie. And I thought Venus might have been able to gain some traction here because she was making a lot of good points. She was making a very smart case. And I don't know if she said this exactly, but it's like, if Sega is this tight and then they're willing to throw out Mariah, then clearly she's at the bottom of Sega. And is that even damaging anything? Is she even really a threat? If that's the name, if you've decided that Sega is too powerful, right? They have five people and they are super strong. They're all sticking together. And then they reluctantly, you have to force them to give you a name. Why would you just go for that name? At that point, if you're going against Sega, go for someone that they aren't putting out there. So I think Charlie was actually probably the smarter play for most people in that, you know, that winning tribe.
Well, and
that
that's
team of the challenge. And
Venus's logic was great. I agree with you. Like, if you like, Venus's logic was great, but she almost overplayed her way out of this game, right? Like, it wasn't actually that close. But that's where New Era Survivor is so tricky, especially when you do have the earn the merge and you have things along these lines. Venus was making the right argument. You're worried about Sega sticking together, so why are we going to vote out the bottom person on their tribe? Why not vote out Charlie, who's in it? But she also has to stick her neck out then in order to do that. And that's going to make everybody else on the other tribes go, maybe we should get rid of her. And that's what Q was saying. No. I said it was going to be this, or I said it was going to be that. And if you get those types of power players, we've seen it backfire, Sarah Lucina. Like, we have seen this happen numerous times where people feel like they're in a better position than they actually are. Venus's logic was great. I'm glad she survived it. She's going to be chaos, man. And that's, I was saying the whole time, I just wanted her to get to the merge because I felt like she was really going to open up and it was going to be so much fun. And now that she's at the merge, she delivered tonight. She really, really, really did deliver.
As much as she delivered and as much fun as she is, and she is, I believe, my winner pick officially.
Really?
You watched my boot list.
That is true. Video. Okay, you're right.
So, no, I don't know if that counts as the official.
No, it was official. Well, you're screwed. You're stuck.
But I do think we saw a lot of fun from Venus tonight. I do, however, feel like her edit and her chances to win,
like, are low.
Completely plummeted.
She's very sugary, man.
Yeah, I just feel that she's on this Nami tribe for the first five episodes, and she's this underdog. We're rooting for her. She has this alliance with Randon, and Randon ends up going home. And you're kind of like, damn, Tevin and Soda and Hunter aren't including her, and she is a little feisty. You really want to see her come out of her shell and bring this chaos, and we are glad we got to see it. But, man, the way people talk about her, the way they're looking at her and, like, almost laughing at her, she says some really bold things, especially at Tribal Council. Like, I hope everybody is smart enough. I know they're going to do the right move. I don't know. It seems like they aren't necessarily taking Venus seriously. Mm-hmm. In that, for her to win this game, I would love to see it. Absolutely. I think that would be so much fun. Like, what does the rest of this season look like if Venus is to become the winner? But, man, it really, that chance. And I know New Era has done some crazy things with editing. I mean, we've seen Erica win, who is invisible. We've seen Gabler win, mm-hmm. who's really negative early on. But for the merge episode to be this kind of, I don't know, it's almost like the edit was toying with her a bit and kind of making light of all her. Even though I think she's very correct in what she was saying, she was right. I think her way of going about it and her conversation, she just didn't come off as a strong, persuasive player.
So, yeah, but I think there's different reasons why everybody's out there right now. You know what I mean? And I think Venus wants to win. I think Venus was probably on a rough starting tribe for herself to ever win this game in the first place. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at on this one, unfortunately.
It's fine. And I think we have Matt Crowley right here saying we have a ton of sloppy players. This, and sloppy players are great. And keep up the great podcast.
That's the more important one. Come on, Will.
Yeah.
I want to give a quick shout out real quick to a couple fans, because E in here, this is Elijah. Nice to meet you, Phil. It was a great night. I got to meet Elijah tonight, and I got to meet a couple others, Sarah and I, and a bunch of other people whose names I did not get. I don't know if they listen to our podcast or not. We competed with Brandon Donlin in a challenge tonight, and you better believe that we were out after the second leg. There was no third leg available by the time we were ready to go, but it was a good time. And who else? I met David, and I feel like I'm missing somebody, and that's going to make me mad. But Colby, that was the one. Thank you, Colby. my life from the rafters over here. But yes, Colby was very excited. I met him at the very end of the episode. So that was nice. So thank you to everybody who came up and said hi to me. That was great. And thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. A lot of people are mentioning Connections, Will, so you should be pumped about that because I know Connections is like your baby right now. You want to
keep playing the Connections.
Yeah, yeah. You want to become the Connections guy. So thank you all so much for coming up. It was great meeting everybody. And like this video, everybody who's listening right now. Will. Yeah,
and if you're gonna shout out people that come up to you at watch parties, I got to give a shout out to my buddy, Will.
Will Redman, man. Come on.
Will, I was at Johnny Fairplay's event last week after the episode. I was able to do it after podcasting because, West Coast time. It's just a better place to live, man, the West Coast hour. So I was able to go see Johnny Fairplay. I got to talk to Abby Maria, Sugar, Fairplay, of course. And then Will came up to me, and I was like, what's your name, man? He goes, Will. And it was great. So it's always fun running into fans of the Specialists, although it's not that common of occurrence. It is fun. We do appreciate it. Let's get back to the episode.
Let's get back to the episode. I wanted to do that. I wanted to give ourselves a little bit of a pat on the back real quick there and just let it be known. Now I can say who I think is going to win after this episode. There you go, St. Cliffo. See, Will doesn't want to get back to the episode. Who the hell is he getting? I think Maria is winning. I think this is Maria's game to lose. I really do. I look at the Sega tribe. I think Ben and Charlie, Charlie's a threat. And I feel like Ben is going to be your Suri this season where everybody's just going to be like, we are not letting you get to the end. You are likable. This is scary for us. We are not going to let you get to the final three because you could win the votes. He's a fun guy to listen to talk. You have people when they're drawing rocks today to determine what the tribe split is going to be saying this does not rock as they're doing that. And it's like they're quoting him. And what is it? Mimicry is the best form of
flattery.
Thank you.
Imitation is the best.
Imitation is the best form of flattery. And it's like, that's great. And I feel like the Yanus just have such an uphill battle, even though they were in the right position tonight. None of them were in danger because none of them could actually go home. Hunter's getting by far the best look now over from the Nami tribe. So maybe he runs this whole thing, but Venus is throwing out Tevin and Soda's name. Tevin is being called the king. You got Venus, who I just think doesn't have a chance to win. Liz had no confessionals tonight. She just got to say she was 5 feet tall and was covered in mud. Soda, I feel like it hasn't been very positive for her of late. And then you have Tim, who was just like, he's back now, but he's the only one remaining who had two episodes where he had no confessionals. And that is telling in this type of thing. I just feel like Maria, she's in with everybody. She didn't actually lose somebody who mattered to her tonight. And now I think the attention is going to turn to the Nami tribe. And I think with it turning to the Nami tribe, that is great because once one of them goes, the lines in the sand are going to be drawn. And I feel like this is going to have a Tim Bira vibe to it where they're just going to keep going after each other until they're all gone. So I think Maria is pulling this out. She'd be my top pick right now, Will. I don't know who you actually said was your top pick because you said it wasn't going to be Venus, even though that was your winner pick.
I mean, I probably still I'm sticking with Tiffany until I see anything otherwise. Tiffany, to me, is the front runner and will continue to be basically until she goes home.
What did you think about
something crazy happens?
And another one, I think Kenzie actually might have had her best episode since the first episode. Yeah. What did you think about this this analogy that she had and like kind of how that's going to sum up her game with the whole cast iron skillet?
You know me, man. I'm a big home chef. I guess home cook. I shouldn't say chef. That's probably being too nice to myself.
Yeah, you're not really a chef.
You got to have your cast iron, you got to have your nonstick, and you got to have your stainless steel. I love this analogy. I laughed at it. It's a perfect, you know, there are different types of nonstick, but I think she said it's straight from the grocery store, the Teflon, that it's got, you know, you get that thing, no scratches, no dents, you can cook on that thing. It's clean. It stays clean. And then cast iron, man, like you don't want to wash it. Like you don't put soap in it. Like you wash it with water, you like let it sit and then you just leave it on your stovetop and just let it, just let it burn, let it get hot and let it just burn off. Like that's Kenzie. I love that analogy so much. I was there for that one, for sure.
Yeah, Travis Schold here says Kenzie is the front runner. She got the best confessional tonight. That was the one that really stuck out to me.
Is that really what you see? For me, I don't really look at one confessional doing that, because if you have a great bite like that or a great analogy, like, you know, I'm the cast iron skillet, these people are nonstick, that's going to make the show whether you win or not. So, and I think with any sort of edit reading, and not that this is what we completely do on this podcast, but if you're ever into that sort of thing, you have to look at the scenes that they choose to include, and not things that would be obvious to include because it's so good. And that's a confessional to me that, you know, she could have gotten voted out tonight and they would have used that confessional.
Yeah. No. And I do agree with you. You know, sometimes the sound bites are just so good, you don't have a choice but to put them in. But I just feel like with Kenzie, she's had plenty of sound bites this season, and I get it. But like, for this to be in the merge episode is where they start to, it always feels like it starts to turn a little bit. Obviously Erica had the hourglass twist, but that was where her edit picked up. That was really where Marianne's
Lamb the Lion, baby.
Yeah, that was where Marianne's edit took a huge turn. That was where Gabler, that was his biggest episode of the entire season. So the merge episode is generally a big one. Q kind of owned it tonight, but I think Q's just got such an uphill battle for himself. I don't know if he's gonna be able to pull it out. I would say if you were to ask me, like, who are your, there's 12 people left in the game. So if I broke it down into contenders, pretenders, and just they have no shot, I would say that my top three contenders right now are Kenzie, Tiffany, and Maria. And I would probably say that my fourth would be Hunter. Those would be my contenders. And if one of those four don't win, I would genuinely be pretty surprised at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a solid four. I think if you offered those odds at a sports book, I think you'd probably have the winner comes from there. That's probably like minus 120, minus 130 versus the field versus the other eight people.
Yeah. I could go even like minus 170. Like, wow. I think it's closer to my, yeah, I think it's pretty high.
Well, there are people that can win that haven't been, like, you know, I think Tim winning wouldn't be insane. Tevin winning wouldn't be crazy. Charlie winning wouldn't be crazy. Ben winning wouldn't be crazy. I'm trying to think, you know, Venus winning would be, I think Liz winning would be, Q win seems very unlikely, but I don't know why we're talking about the finale.
Yeah, but it's, I feel like it's important to talk about these things as we're breaking down the episode, because, you know, especially at the merge episode, this is where the groundwork is being laid. So you're starting to see, okay, how are the alliances really shaking out? Mariah going home tonight didn't surprise any of us. You had her at spot 11. Myself and Sabaya had her at 13 because we actually know what we're talking about.
You guys
about.
Read spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me call up Sabaya real quick and see how many spoilers she was reading, Will. Like, you want to put that claim out there for the world here? Anytime Will's wrong, it's always spoilers. But I think that with Mariah going, it didn't actually change anybody's game. So I do feel like you had to look at the edit a little bit more tonight into what was going on, because out of the people who were in danger tonight, who never felt in danger? Let's go through the split here. What was the split so that everybody who's has a hard time remembering? It was an insane split. It was five women and one man, five men and one woman, and then Tiffany sat out. So what was the split, Will?
Okay, so we had the winning team was Kenzie, the only woman on the winning team, with Q, Tim, Hunter, Tevin, and Ben. And then Tiffany joined them in being safe. So the six people up for elimination were Venus, Soda, Liz, Charlie, Maria, and Mariah.
And Maria never felt in danger ever. At all.
No.
At all. And that's what I'm saying. Like, out of all the people who were there, and Liz never felt in danger either, but Liz was such a non-factor in this episode that what are you really supposed to do with that information?
I mean, honestly, no one really felt in danger. I mean, we'd have seven out of the 13 people were completely safe. They had immunity. So there's only six people that could even go. And then even out of those six, only two names seriously came up. Like, I know Charlie's name was brought up, but like, that lasted all of 30 seconds, because then they all start going. The story of Charlie's name coming up wasn't that he was actually a threat to go home. It was the story of Venus overplaying and try to change the vote, even though the vote wasn't even on to her. That gotcha. She was trying to overplay her hand. And so Charlie's name didn't really ever come up. So it was just one person from Sega and one person from NAMI. And I mean, that's what we had been saying, that it was going to be this. It's always this new era merge is the sacrificial lamb. Who is your tribe offering to show that you can work with the new people and that you can make new relationships? And yeah, that's how it broke down. I don't know if Maria's name not coming up is such a
play
because Liz's name didn't come up, and you know,
but I just said she was a non-factor, so that's what kind of did this. But here's the big one. Let me say this.
Everybody else, Maria's a non-factor.
This is a big one. I was watching this at the auditorium at Ron's thing, so I wasn't taking my normal notes. I wasn't like jotting things down. I wasn't doing that. I was really into like the event, so I didn't have it all. Maria's confessional, talking about the alliance from last week, was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is what really set Maria apart for me at this point, and this is really what it was. And it took me until 24 minutes into this podcast to remember this. So we had Tim test Maria, and Maria not only passed this test with the others, she passed it with Tim, and then she had a confessional that said, "This could work, but it might not be what works best for me." And I think that being included in this episode, this alliance might not actually be anything. It might not be all that important to the future of the show. But the fact that that was in there, and Maria played that so smooth with Tim. She maybe could have played it better with Hunter and Q, but she didn't shoot it down. She just said, "Oh, he never mentioned it to me." So now that puts the weight on Tim. Tim now looks a little bad. Tim goes back, has the conversation, then goes and talks to Maria. And Maria says, "Yeah, like this could be great. I really like this idea. Okay, cool. But I'm not totally sold." And we know she has Charlie. If Maria sits at the final three, all of these types of votes, these are the social moves that make votes fall your way in a landslide victory type of fashion.
Yeah, and I thought she did handle this and play this well. I was more surprised that Tim had not said anything to Maria. Like, what are you thinking? And I think his reasoning was, I want to let Maria like figure things out and feel out the people. And she's very social and it's about connecting. And like, I don't want to force this on her. I thought that part was actually strong, that when he eventually talked to her and said, "Hey, this is what is kind of happening here. And I wanted to give you a chance to meet the people and look, like, I don't want to force this on you." It came up. I actually thought Tim did a phenomenal job of bringing this up to her. When he finally did, his mistake, you got to tell Maria this before you go merge with 13 people, because you don't know with everyone scrambling, everybody running around, everybody clearly going to talk strategy right away. We hear how fast the game is moving. You've 13 mouths blabbering away about what's going on, what's happening. You had to have found time, especially if you are that close. And if she is your number one ally, to be like, "Hey, I went on this journey. Here's the deal. There's this 6-person alliance that's been mentioned." And he could have said the same things he said tonight, the very same phrase of, I don't want to play your game for you. Or what was the exact wording? Like, "I don't want to force this upon you." I think
it was, "I don't want to force this." Yeah, I wanted you to hear it and see
upon you. Like, I want you to be good with it. I think he could have used that same sort of phrasing and wording back at the original Sega Beach before they all got together, because now Q goes up, thinks Maria is good. Also, mistake on Q, like, probably check in with Tim first before going right up to Maria.
But then Q's reasoning for not going to Tim first was to see if it was legit, right? That was kind of what his – did he say that? I think he said that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he'd said, "Okay, like, I got with Hunter." He basically – it seemed like Hunter connected Tevin and Q. Like, even in these, like, Mad Dash conversations before Tribal where, like, "Wait, Venus is trying to get out Charlie. Should we just throw it on to Venus or keep it with, like – even that situation, it was clear that Q, Hunter, and Tevin, Tiff included with that, that they had a very strong working relationship already. Mm-hmm. They had a shorthand. They were all together. They were looking for each other. So I do think this alliance is very much real. I'm not saying it's going to be successful or be the final six or that the winner even comes from it, but it is a big part of the story this season. We spent a lot of time on it this episode. And I do think Maria's her strongest point was like, "Yes, this is an option. I like having options. This can work for me." And I think this could very well be something that Maria is going to be a part of. This go with Tim, go with this plus one alliance until it becomes, "Hey, this isn't my game. If I keep doing this, Tiffany's going to win, or Hunter's going to win, or Tevin's going to win, or maybe Q wins. I want to win. And eventually, she in this confessional might be foreshadowing her eventually turning on this six-person alliance, because I can tell you this right now. When Tim brought it up, this wasn't something that she went, oh, no, I don't, that's the, I don't like that. She was like, oh, really? Interesting. Yes, sure. Keep me insulated. I want to be there.
And think about this, right? There was some talk about the women shouldn't vote out a woman. They should vote out a man. The men are over here. They have all their, you know, they're the ones all with immunity. We should do this. And so you have this moment where Maria gets this information. She has her confessional, but think about where Maria is positioned now. Ben, Charlie, they like her. That's fine. Mariah's gone, so she's out. Doesn't matter. Tim clearly likes her. Now she has a potential alliance with Hunter, with Tevin, with Q, and with Tiffany. And the women are going off and talking about, hey, maybe we should get rid of a man instead of getting rid of a woman, which will then create more conversations for her with people like Venus and Kenzie and Soda.
And Liz.
And Liz, she's literally connected with everybody now. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, her connecting with Liz and Soda and Venus, I think, is a stretch.
Stretch, but I'm just saying she has a connection to everybody and nobody else does.
If the tides turn against the men, then yeah, then she's in with those three people that it seems like she hasn't had conversations with. Mm-hmm. So, no, she's absolutely in a good spot. I don't mean to say that she isn't. But
yeah, no. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm
agreeing with you for sure. I just thought the more like just it was so interesting that Tim did not mention this whatsoever. It just seems there we go. Jeff.
Nice to meet you tonight, Phil. Nice meeting you as well, Jeff. And Will, did you ever think people would say nice to meet you, Phil? Do you think those are like words that you'd hear? You've maybe met me a couple times, right?
Yeah. Once or twice. Yeah. It's okay.
No, it was a good time, man. I'm telling you.
I mean, is this like a weekly event or is it like
no, this I think this might have just been, I don't know how often he does these. I never looked into him because I was always on the West Coast and I know he didn't do one in 2020, obviously. And I don't think he did one in 2021. I don't know, man, but it was like awesome. It was awesome. And also it just gives you a reason to go to the Ron Clark Academy. And that was one of the coolest freaking buildings I've ever been in.
I saw the light up, like the life, little Survivor dude. Logo with the faces.
Dude,
the
whole cast and that thing like, before that was a dragon that kept landing on top of stuff. It was insane.
It a mermaid dragon?
It was just a dragon. It was not a mermaid. It was not Kenzie. Kenzie. But okay, so let's, so there's a group of six, but let's talk about the way this episode started. And this was Hunter running over to get his idol. What happens if Hunter doesn't get this idol prior to merging?
I mean, that's why I think these idols are pretty easy to find and that they're just like, here's the idol, man.
Yeah, because it was insanely, his was the easiest one by far. It was literally go sit down at your steps and pull it out.
Yeah, the difficulty that we were made to believe in this idol, you know, obviously wasn't in measuring anything with a machete or solving some sort of cipher. It was that, hey, the boats are coming, as if we have any idea how long that actually took place. And we get the shots of the boat and we get Hunter digging and we get the music. He's got to get the key. He's got to get the box. And then the boats are coming right as he arrives. I mean, that could have been a four-hour window.
Felt like a traitor's, huh?
Yeah, for all we know.
Four minutes left, and then there's six. You see the sun setting in the background. I thought they started this at 8 a.m. What's going on here?
Yeah, the traitor's countdown clock. It's like 12 seconds left on the clock, and they're all like in the water, like lighting flames. And then, and then 3, 2, 1, they're all on shore like half a mile away. Like, just like, come on.
Yeah, and
I think that hurts when you have actually a countdown clock. I like what they did here where Hunter's like, the countdown's on. I can feel it. I can't see it, but I can feel it. I know the boats are coming. And I do think this was actually a very fun idol find, a fun idol scene. But in terms of difficulty of finding it or that they were ever going to let Hunter not find it and then he's not without a vote the rest of the season, to me,
I feel
it's
like
weird because I've been saying this all season. It seems like the players are the ones who keep saying like, actually, that Beware advantage would suck. Like Adam said that. I've heard Kelly has said that at one point where like, oh, my gosh, you have to figure out who's going home. Like, this is right before tribal. And again, I'm talking about the original Beware advantage for this season, where it's like you have to get it during the tribal scramble. So a lot of alumni have said that would not be a fun thing to do, to have to figure out. And that the actual disadvantage, or beware of it, is that you have to spend all your time like doing this like scavenger hunt, clue, cipher, measuring stuff in the middle of planning a vote, in which case, if you aren't present for these conversations, the name, you know, it could be you going home, which could be true. But I still think that like they make these very findable, and that they're not going to screw you over like that. So,
and I also feel like, and maybe you would know more about this on the back end of everything, but I feel like if he doesn't find this, if somehow he didn't, I mean, him running away was hilarious. And then Liz being like, why are we running?
Here we go. Here we have Mr. Manny. I don't think it was an actual timer. Just, I think he just didn't want more people possibly watching.
Yeah, that's true. Because so, that's like, what I was going to say, because you might know the behind the scenes here. If he gets to the other beach and hasn't found it yet, you think they just hide it somewhere else, and it's like Hunter has a clue waiting for him in his bag or something like that?
Well, I was almost thinking, like, did they pick this beach because Hunter was here and they needed to get his vote back somehow?
Oh, that's true, because everybody was coming to Nami, so it didn't matter anyway.
Yeah, it's not like it was...
It's not like he was leaving camp, so there really was no clock.
Right, and I mean, I thought it was very unclear to me whether it was like, okay, by the time, you know, the other people get here, is that your timer, or is that just in Hunter's head with what Mr. Manny is saying, that was just a thing Hunter set for himself because he didn't want to be caught looking with you know, 13 people at camp?
Yeah, I think it was that.
Unclear, again, with this idol stuff, especially with this one this season, it's like, they want you to lose your vote once or twice, but they also want you to have the idol.
They want you to play the damn game, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want you to play the damn game. So yeah, that's how the episode started. And I felt like it was, you know, I mean, it's giving Hunter some screen time. He is, who do you think the fan favorite is right now? Do you think it's Hunter, or do you think it's somebody else?
I think it's Hunter. I think it might be Q, if we're talking about like Facebook. Survivor Facebook, and like everyone just watching.
You're a Survivor Facebook guy, Will?
I'm not. I'm just trying to think of, like,
that's not good.
Like who the masses are like loving right now. I think the online community and, you know, the fans that listen to Specialists probably have a different.
Dude, Ryan 51 and La Morena both just threw in Q right away. I am Connor says Tiffany.
Yeah, I think Tiffany is probably like the internet's favorite, or one of them. I think Q is probably like America's favorite. I mean, it has to be someone who has been to Tribal Council. I think it has to be someone from Yanni. We haven't seen enough of the other people. I don't think anyone's clamoring at the TV as good as Maria has been. I mean, like, Maria is winning over America's heart right now. I just don't think we've seen enough of her. She's been to two Tribal Councils. So are you laughing at right now the fan favorite is Carson?
Yes, I'm laughing at Colton Park's comments. Yes, for sure. That is definitely the Twitter favorite there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, questions asked.
There's a reason Carson did not make the second chance ballot.
I like Marina, Alysius, Kenzie, and Venus for the drama. I am Connor. Q's my favorite, and I don't use Facebook or Twitter. Thomas McGee, Hunter, or Q is the fan favorite. I am Connor. I'm surprised Hunter isn't the Facebook favorite, but instead is a Twitter favorite. St. Cliffo here, hard not to love Kenzie. I just got to say, I mean, I posted the picture onto Instagram today. I mean, yeah, in real life, everybody loves Kenzie, but I feel like Kenzie's been getting so much shit on the internet, and it's been pretty much nonstop. Like, oh, really? Kenzie's just been getting, oh yeah. Kenzie's like pretty much the one who's been considered the bully throughout all of this stuff.
What show are people watching?
They're watching the one that they want to pretend they're watching. Not Survivor. Because I feel like Kenzie should be a fan favorite. To me, and I feel like Kenzie is Cassidy with more screen time. Like, that's how I feel. And instead of people being like, hell yeah, who just gave, what is this?
Whoa. Because you're on Zoom, I guess. You did like a, if you do the thumbs up, it will sometimes show a bubble.
Did you just do something on your phone?
No, that happens sometimes. It's a motion-activated thing.
I'm not on Zoom, though.
It happens on Zoom calls.
But I'm not on Zoom.
Sometimes you can make a balloon appear.
Somebody's messing with me. Anyway, all right, well, anyway, I just think that Kenzie really, like, should be getting more love than she's getting. And I feel like the way this game started for her, that didn't work. Neo Kuru says, no, she's arrogant and dangerous. But then you have I Am Connor saying Kenzie had her place of work harassed by a fan. Like, that's the type of shit that's just out of control. Jeez. And terrible. I do feel like Kenzie should be getting more love, but I agree. I think it's Tiffany. I think it's Hunter. I think it's Q. And I think it's probably...
Also, we're not asking, like, who's your favorite. The question, no. At least the one you posed to me, is who do you think, like, is the fan favorite? And I would go Q.
You think it's Q? Yeah, I think Q's... I think Q makes it. I think Q's probably the most... He's going to check the most boxes for the Survivor community. All right. Let's talk about the challenge. You're the challenge guy. You love challenges. You're a big challenge guy. This gets split the way it did. I don't even care about the split. I don't want to talk about anything until the end. What did you think about them making everybody participate in the puzzle portion?
Love that.
So huge, man. Come on. Why has this not happened in the past?
Yeah, I mean, so much of it comes down to the puzzle. And I think there's this, you know, the whole point of Earn the Merge, it's in the name, Earn the Merge. And when you go through a whole obstacle course and, you know, the team that's in the lead is basically has like a minute or like 90 seconds of extra time to do the puzzle, that's not that big of an advantage. But that's the part that everyone competes in. And then when we get to the puzzle, only two people do it. So four people have really, you know, other than the small time advantage, the, you know, these puzzles aren't easy. These can be 15, 20 minute puzzles. So 90 second advantage is often not going to make or break it. It certainly can. And we have seen that happen before where it comes down right to the end. If like, hey, if you would have gotten to the puzzle first, you would have won the game. I'm not saying that doesn't matter at all. But for this to be the deciding phase of the challenge, to make everyone do it, I absolutely love that. Great that you brought that up. And I do want to bring up the split, Phil. I do. And this to me, you know, we talk about this a lot. We've seen them do so many rock draws to make teams. It's like, can we please just see a draft? And I know drafts take a long time. They're really kind of clunky. They're tough to edit. Not that they're hard, but they
They're easy to edit. They got to be harder to shoot than edit. To edit, you just say, I'm going to pick this guy. Like that's
But then you have to do that 13 or 11 times. It gets really tiresome. And if you do show the schoolyard pick, you want to cut it in with confessionals. You need to make basically a segment out of it. You need to have like a 2 to 3, maybe 4 minute scene of explaining why people pick the way they're picking. And you don't just rapid fire, I pick you, because then it's like, okay, it's about the reasoning. But the fact that we have 90 minutes now, if we're going to keep doing 90 minutes, we have to do a draft for this because it would be so, so fascinating. Do I pick someone in my alliance so that if I end up going to tribal council, that I'll have someone to vote with me? But if we have our whole alliance here, oh shoot, now one of us has to go home. Or do I pick Q or Hunter because they're really good at challenges? But guess what? I know Hunter is not working with me. But guess what? If Hunter's on my team, I'm probably not going to go. And you have these dilemmas. It's interesting decisions. It's choices. We're just letting rocks do it. And we have the time now. We do have the time. Well, I understand.
And I think
from 41 to 44 to fit in a schoolyard pick with 13 people or 12 people, whatever, it is a clunky big thing to edit and do, and it slows down and it's boring maybe, but here we have Mr. Man. You don't have to use the reason for every pick, but you include two or three confessionals from people explaining, and it is a strategic decision. It adds choice and agency to the game. Where so this, it felt like this was a phenomenal challenge, but it could have gone way worse. It could have been an absolute blowout. Like,
and you know what you do too? I give
kudos to whatever that was. I think
the orange team. Yeah,
man. Yeah. Like to get through that entire, like with the ball and then the net and climbing up with the sandbags. I mean, that was a physical challenge and they did such an amazing job even to get to the puzzle. It could have been pretty boring though. It could have been that.
And I thought that they were going to really struggle with the ball. And I actually think their like weight helped them with that, because even though they might not have the brute strength of the other side, you didn't need multiple people pulling everybody up. Like the guys had to use all their strength to get everybody up, whereas Charlie was able for the most part. And then they did a really smart thing with Soda where they had her lay on top, so she was pulling from the top. Mm-hmm. And then you had Charlie pushing from underneath, and that got all three of the other women up in no time. And then it was just, how do we get Charlie up? Everybody pull as hard as you can. So I think they had a really good strategy. I think you're really on to this and with how you could pick these. And I think the best thing they could do is when everybody gets together maybe somebody or two people, and I know we had talked about summits, it doesn't have to be a summit, but maybe there's some sort of advantage in the game or a journey, air quotes, where people go and say, who's the strongest member from your tribe? Who's the strongest member from your tribe? And granted, there's three tribes, but maybe people can come to a consensus of these are the two people we think are the two strongest people in the game. Now you go to this mergatory, and Hunter and Q, who are labeled the two strongest people in the game, Jeff calls them out right away and says, you guys were picked as the two strongest people by tribe mates. They don't necessarily have to say who, or it could be like when these people went on a journey, whatever. And now they start the pick 'em.
Yeah.
And so now you're not going to have the massive gap. I guess what they're most concerned with is people just picking along tribe lines. I think that's what their biggest concern is.
But you can't. Like, you need to have someone in case you lose that you can vote out.
But what they could do, what I'm thinking they could do is 5 Sega could pick 5 Sega, 5 Nami could pick 5 Nami, and then they each get 1 purple, and the purple would be the person who goes home.
Yeah, but that's to get all 5 on one tribe, that would have to, that would really,
I think that's what they're worried about, though.
That would really have to go a specific way to do that. I mean, I think people would probably play more self-preservation mode than trying to game a surprise draft where you can't even. And it would be one of those drafts where if I select you, Phil, then Phil, you make the next pick.
Yeah. It would be like what they did in Palau. Yeah.
Yeah. So, draft it next time. What else, Phil? What else we got here?
Dude, I gotta turn it over to you because I can remember the big moments. But again, you're watching auditorium. I did think what was funny is they put on the subtitles, the closed captions tonight, so that everybody could hear it because there's a lot of cheering and stuff. I mean, it's a fun event. And they put in the captions when it was, this is not hidden or something like that, whatever it was for Hunters, it was spelled K-N-O-T. Now, I don't know if that was just an error in the closed captioning or if that was actually the way not was spelled and that like in the piece of wood.
That was in closed captioning. That was subtitles on the episode.
Oh, was it subtitles? Okay, I thought that was interesting.
I noticed that too, and I don't think that was a mistake. So I was thinking, yeah, it's got to be a knot somewhere. It also said plug, like keep plugging along or something, or something with the word plug. And I think
and he pulled dug the plug. Up
a plug. And then the key was attached via a rope, and I guess that rope was tied via a knot. Not that would have helped you, because when you give a clue or something like that, you don't need to clue what you're going to dig up. You're clueing the location. Like, knowing that it's a plug, I mean, I don't know if that really helped. I guess it was just kind of a little Easter egg, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, I can kind of remember the bigger moments, but I'm having a hard time with some of the smaller stuff because it was a little hard for me to hear. But so if there's any, do you have anything else that like stands out to you that we haven't covered yet?
I mean, I guess just this this decision, but I mean, who do you think here, like for Yanu, was this voting out Mariah the smartest thing? Because like, I don't walk away from this being like,
oh, I don't think it mattered to anybody.
But it has to matter. It's a vote. Like, if it didn't matter, then it was a bad call, right?
No,
like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think that this elevated anybody's game or dropped anybody's games. I think Venus hit the nail on the head when she said, this is not going to help us. We need to get rid of one of them.
But it had to help somebody. Somebody's going to win this season.
It helped Maria. Mariah didn't matter that she goes home. It probably helped. It helped Maria. It helped Ben, and it helped Charlie, and it helped Tim. And here's why.
But did it help because that was kind of where I was going with this, is that I think that if Ben and Tim hadn't said a name, I think we're talking about Charlie being the eliminated
potentially
player.
Yeah. This is a great question, or this is a great comment from Real Nicolas Cage. Q, Tiff, Hunter all want the weak links out. It's a great comment.
I mean, that's
this helps them.
That's part of that plus one alliance or the Journey 6, whatever we want to call it. Had a lot of names tonight.
Yeah.
The plus one alliance, the whole point of that was, hey, we're going to be big targets. We're going to be threats. Let's team up, and then let's each bring a person in. And guess what? We have shields in here. We have the threats. We're not going to let the smaller players take us out for being physical threats. And then, yeah, I mean, that's Q, Tiff, and Hunter. They're all a part of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a great point. So maybe this helps them because with Mariah going home, but if Venus goes home, it's kind of the same. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. Analogy here.
Who is more likely to ruin your game or future?
Venus.
Game? Was it Venus or was it Mariah?
Venus.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. That Venus, like, especially when you see Venus turn the vote and get and you tell her, hey, we're gonna vote Mariah. It's between you and Mariah. Just vote Mariah. You're gonna be good. Everyone wants to seek out. They're way too strong. And she goes, okay, yeah, but like, I don't want to vote Mariah. Can we do Charlie instead? Because that's actually way smarter. Have you guys not thought about that? It's way better. Mm-hmm.
Should be scary.
You're right. But if I'm out there, I'm kind of on Q side. Like, dude, Venus, she doesn't even have immunity. Us seven have immunity. And she's trying to tell us how to vote. Like, seriously, Venus?
Yeah.
And again, we've talked through the reasoning and we do agree with Venus's logic. It's that, man, you're really letting people know that you are playing, that you're playing hard. And I do think that if you vote out Venus, I know that Sega is a five. So what? You vote out Venus, guess what? You still have four Nami and you still have three Yanu, and it's 7-5. Like you said, yeah. If you really need to get a Sega out next week, I feel like Venus at some point, if she gets word of the plus one or the Journey Six, that she can upend a vote. Like she can pretend she's your friend, get information out of you, go back to your enemies, spill the beans, tell her you have an advantage, you tell her you have an idol, anything like that. I mean, I think Venus is going to be playing so hard and is so determined out there. Whereas Mariah, to me, you know, I think Mariah is probably a student of the game and a smart person, although she started watching in season 32
so and forgot who the winner was.
Yeah, I mean, Phil, I'm surprised we actually didn't open with this. And I do think if you hadn't gone to Ron's
we would have opened with this if I wasn't.
We would have absolutely.
I had time to cool off.
Believe,
yeah,
that they're talking that Q is this worried about Aubrey and that Mariah compares herself to Aubrey, which, hey, Mariah, compare yourself to Aubrey all you want, but for that to trigger this like animosity in Q that, oh my god, she's Aubrey, she's geeky, she's smart, she's this strategic devil who's going to kill everyone. And it's like, man, we've had a lot of Korong references this season, Phil, and Michelle's name.
And Michelle's name has been kept out of everyone's mouth.
Irritating. Yeah.
It's brutal. What's funny about, so I get the Parvati scare because Parvati won, Parvati finished runner up. Like Parvati also then went on and like finished, what was her first season? Sixth. Like Parvati was threatening all the time. And Parvati just didn't have the numbers in her first season. After the I-2-4. I guess she did have the numbers and the I-2-4 just started to dominate. But anyway, that's not the point. Being scared of Aubrey, look, I get Aubrey was a phenomenal strategist. Aubrey never won. So if you're Q, you should be like, great, play like Aubrey. That's not scary. And Mo has a tweet out right now, which is fantastic. Moral of the story, if you're on Survivor and someone asks who your favorite player is, don't say a deep cut like three-time player Aubrey Bracco. Like, that's a great tweet because Aubrey is somebody that's obviously going to come out. But I forget who it was. Somebody, I think it was
Elizabeth. Yeah, like, what if she's like, I want to play like Angie from Wow.
This was worth it. Elizabeth from Davis Goliath tweeted, Nick would tell her Nyanka was his favorite player. Now, I don't know if she's being serious or joking, but if that's serious, that's absolutely hilarious if he's running around the island saying that.
Hey, maybe that's what got him the win. He lowered his threat level by saying he wants to emulate his game off of somebody who quit.
Who quit?
Yeah. Unreal, I like Tim. Man. Tim just goes, I'm a Shamar guy.
Yeah. Shamar. Also, another thing that I wanted to throw out here that actually was not in the subtitles. It was in the closed captioning. Tevin's confessional of Venus. The mm-mm-mms at the bottom in the closed captioning were so funny because it was so many M's and there were random spaces and stuff. And I feel like that might have been the most accurate the closed captioning was the entire night rather than like focusing on words and stuff. It had the perfect spacing after the M's.
How many mm-mm-mms before Venus, Phil?
Dude, I'm telling you, I think 7 might be the number. What do you think? Are you get what's Tevin's winning chances in your mind?
Not good. I mean,
we the just King don't... Tevin thing is bad, right?
Yeah, whenever you're the Godfather or the King, especially out of nowhere. Like, I know that we have seen him be, like, the socially dominant person on his tribe. But, look, I don't know how you get crowned a king without going to tribal council and at least casting a vote towards somebody and eliminating them from the show. Like, he has yet to do that. And, you know, this is an example. The whole group voted for Mariah, so it's not like he can take credit for this move. I think he's just a socially dominant person. I don't think he's game dominant or a king in any way. But it does feel like that those words, those choice words are just so – they're negative. No one's talking about Tevin in, like, a positive way when they call him a king or a godfather. Like, it's more – you know, we hear from Venus a lot about how it's very unpleasant the way he was, you know, kind of running things over at the NAMI camp. So I think Tevin's a fun character. I think he's a cool dude. I think he has a chance to go far, absolutely. But I don't know, to win the game – I'm not seeing it right now, Phil.
I'm not either. And he had that great, you know, we always talk about the great confessional episode one. He had a great first episode and all that.
It wasn't a confession. It was like a monologue.
Yeah, it was
to
a monologue.
Start the season. Yeah. I mean, maybe he just had a really good interview where they pulled that. Was like, this is interesting way to start, because he hasn't been that big of a character.
He was decent tonight. Like, he had a pretty. Force.
Yeah, no, we're hearing from him bits and pieces. You know, he's like, oh, I'm going to be so nice. He had this, like, yeah, that, maybe that confessional is something we should bring up. It kind of felt not out of place, but just kind of felt like it didn't fit in with what was going on about basically Tevin's preparations of how he's going to treat everybody once they get to the NAMI beach. He's like, I'm going to make them I'm going to be friends with them. I'm going to treat them as a human, see how they're going. Like, it really. I don't know. Did were you able to hear that or read the closed captionings on that confessional? You know what I'm talking about? It just felt a little off to me.
I was not. All I know is that Tevin is being called, like you said, he hasn't gone to a tribal council yet. He's being called the king.
Well, now he has, but yes.
Now he has, but up until that point. Now, if he ends up, because we know they're going to do a split next week, it's probably going to be the same thing as the Seaford Caleb situation, which sucks. I mean, so literally now we've merged, but there is no merge because they merged and now tomorrow – they are all going to be split. Like, that's how quickly this happens. This is less than 12 hours later. They are going to be split. We are going to see them not vote together. Tevin ends up on the wrong side of those numbers. It's an easy way of saying he's the kingpin. Let's get rid of him.
Yes, that's totally possible. The only thing, oh man, I'm thinking back, Phil, to the Banu episode where it was the first of two in the two-part Banu breakdown where Randon gets medevaced. And it's like, oh, if you had just gone to tribal council, because then guess what? Next week we can just have a normal tribal.
Yeah.
You know? We just not need to do one of these split double eliminations. And it just is it's just kind of tiresome at this point.
I agree.
Don't you think so?
I do. These suck. These are terrible. And what
especially,
I hate
especially it's like we've here's been what in I hate six the most person about it, tribes well. All season, these small groups. And it's finally like, whoa, all these relationships, and where's this going to go? And then instantly, we're right back.
This is what I hate the most about it. Alexa and I talked about it last year. What is the worst and the stupidest about this version of this twist is that you are literally telling them they earned the merge and then immediately splitting them into two different groups of six where they don't vote together. So they didn't earn the merge because you literally just tribe swapped. That's what you did. You did a tribe swap. Where one person on each tribe is now immune. That's all it is. It's a tribe swap.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. That
it's a one-world tribe swap. They live on the same beach, but it's a tribe swap. And they're not even going to go back to the same beach. They're going to split the same beach. It's not a tribe swap. That's all it is. Yeah. So don't call it the merge if it's not the merge.
Yeah, it's what it is you merge and then you dissipate.
Unmerge.
You dissolve. Yeah. You unmerge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dissolution of the
Jeff is the truck driver who won't let you in. You know, you need to get in. There's no more lane for you as you're coming on the highway. And Jeff's the truck driver who's like, fuck you. I don't care. I had to deal with that a lot today. I drove all the way to Atlanta from South Florida. So had a lot of that. It was a good time. But yeah, because Thomas McGee says Phil, he says Will and Phil, which is just so ass
let's
backwards.
Get that going.
Do you not like double tribals or is it just this version? It's just this version, in my opinion. I don't mind the double tribals. I don't mind when they split them sometimes. I just think doing this immediately after the earn the merge is silly.
Yeah, but it wasn't always like this, right? Because
they used to do it at 10. They would have one or two votes happen, then have that.
Yes, they would do earn the merge at 12, and then they would have a normal vote at 11, and then at 10, do 5 and 5. And I don't even think that it's necessarily terrible to do this 6 and 6, or even to do it 5 and 5. It's the fact that we're seeing it 6 seasons in a row. I think that's probably the part that rubs me the most. It's just like, especially after all these three tribe starts, where you have tribes of six, tribes of six, tribes of six. Hey, it's final 12. What are we going to do? Let's split into tribe of six, tribes of six. And it's like, man, I mean, when's the last time we've just had like a vote of like 10 people going? I mean, maybe it was last season because we did this at 12, but it just feels like we've so few
normal votes. Well, it's technically this is like a 12. This was a 13 person vote tonight, but only 6 people are actually eligible.
Right. But it's not a normal. Forward. Yeah. It's not a normal vote by any means. I mean, I think maybe that is a question we could talk about. Yanu just lucking into all three of them. I think could be so huge because everyone's scrambling in tonight's episode before tribal and talking about the target, who it should be. Like, Yanu's names could not come up, and it was nothing of their doing. It was no one's saying, "Oh, guys, watch out for the Tika 3, the tribe with the fewest amount of people." I mean, that's the season they most recently saw, I believe, mm-hmm. is season 44. This cast, and they should be wary of that purple tribe. That only has 3 people. And they weren't at all because they couldn't be because of this mm-hmm. twist. But I think that sets them up nicely that next week it's like, okay, now we've worked with the Yanu people. We just took out Siga. Let's like, I just feel like it takes the heat off them so much. And I know it's just, you know, this episode only that they were safe and that they aren't safe next week. But I think that just set them up nicely because I do think, Phil, if Q or Kenzie or Tiff, if there was just one of them, in that group of six that was eligible to be voted for, I think there's a chance they go.
I don't know. I feel like Siga and Nami wanted to take each other out.
I think so, but I think at least for the first one, it's, hey, let's get through the first vote. Let's all earn our buffs. Like, man, let's – and they don't – at this point, they don't know that it happens at Final 12, the split. They think it happens at 10. So mm-hmm. I don't know, especially after seeing 44 with the Tika 3, you might want to be like, hey, we got to get rid of the Yanu. That's the most dangerous group. We're 5 and 5. We're fine. Watch out for this tribe. No one's looking at Yanu. And I think that this is going to be really helpful for them. And hey, maybe they get targeted as soon as next week. It seems like Tiff is not pleasant with Q in the promo for next week. I don't know if you're able to see any of that.
I was not able to see that. The promo came on very briefly, and I did not actually catch the promo, like, at all. So, yeah.
Well, great. That's what we have our entire predictions and power rankings for, so we don't need to
get into that. I promise I'll dive into that. I mean, that's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
Whoa, I gotta be up early.
You got to be up early, and it's going to be with Johnny Fairplay, and I'm going to be with Johnny Fairplay, so pray for me. Because I will be with Johnny Fairplay. So anybody
who wants probably to, you guys should have a couple beers while podcasting.
Maybe. Just send me good 11 vibes.
11 a.m. beers. And I'll have
I to, love 11 a.m. beers. It's my favorite Sunday Mary. Ritual.
Yeah, Bloody Mary or something.
That means you have to get up really early, though, because you have to make a Bloody Mary, which is not the quickest task.
Yeah, I can do like a Michelada, though, maybe.
Yeah, that's easier.
I don't know. I probably won't join you too if that's the direction the podcast is going.
I mean, you're the one who just made the podcast go this direction. I didn't even say it. Blake and I won't be doing Digging Deeper this week because I'm on the road all day again tomorrow. He's on the road all day again tomorrow. But McKenna and I will be recapping The Amazing Race tomorrow night. And I did get to meet Michelle and Sean from this season of The Amazing Race tonight. So ooh, that was really fun. I haven't watched tonight's episode yet, so I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, I don't know, but I got to meet them tonight and that was really nice. They were great. Totally understand why they were cast. Like, they were just like those personalities right away. It was like, boom, hit you right in the face. But yeah, so we're gonna be doing that tomorrow night. And yeah, we have a whole bunch of stuff, man. We've just been pounding out podcasts, doing a whole bunch of it. What is this? Plenty of time to do Survivor Connections. Boom, get in there, do Survivor Connections. Did we miss anything? Are we good? We hit an hour. That's good. Rachel is right here. She's ready to go to sleep. She's probably miserable. She's been up since 6 a.m. I've been up since 6 a.m.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, you got to do a fuller rewatch of this episode. And we can.
Oh, I'll definitely rewatch this episode on Saturday. 100%. I 100% will. Are you trying to say that I wasn't good for today?
Are you trying to say that? Think this is like the top of the game, like your best performance of Phil. Not that it was bad. I think you know, just not.
But that's like Michael Jordan flu game, right? It's like I'm still great. It's gonna become iconic.
Michael Jordan flu game was that he was sick and still performed even though he was sick. That's what the flu game meme that's going around or has been going around. You're not sick, or you just were kind of in a tough spot tonight.
Yeah. Sorry, Will. My God. All right.
So no, you did great. I'm just giving you shit.
On Sunday morning, Will and Johnny Fairplay will be live at 11 a.m. I won't be there. I don't need to show up anymore. There's no reason for it. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of Fairplay's time. But no, I'm really excited for that one. And then the three guests we have after that, we're locking in times. We're locking in some people. It's good. Ooh. It's good stuff, kids. Get ready. So that's going to be really, really fun. Really fun to do all that. And yeah, I don't have anything else. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We've been putting out a whole bunch of content over there. I got my little calendar. Look, I even travel with my calendar now, everybody. Will and I put out our Survivor Rock Draw today. That was a fun one. We did the food draft. The food draft was awesome. I love a good food draft. So that was a good time. So if you want to check that out, that's for 10
Survivor food moments.
Yes, it was a good one. Yes, it was for Survivor moments, but it was a food. We just called it food drafting. Yeah, we didn't just say like cheeseburger. And then I got my after show coming out tomorrow. We're in the middle of Marquesas right now. John and McKenna doing Survivor Rewind. They'll be recording that episode on Friday night. I think they do Friday night now. I think for the YouTube channel, they also put one out over on our regular channel or on our Patreon channel. So yeah, we got a whole bunch of stuff coming out. Go check out some of our movie stuff. Watch the Connection stuff. Deal or No Deal Island.
The Connections.
Will, was Deal or No Deal Island last episode the most popular episode in the history of Deal or No Deal Island? We already have as many views on that episode as we did on episode 5. Are people coming around on Deal or No Deal Island? Is it back?
I mean,
Worst episode ever, and we have the third most views.
Yeah, that was a really bad episode, but maybe people wanted to hear I think maybe people like to come to us when a show takes such a step in the wrong direction and that we're open and honest about ripping.
They know we'll be dicks. Yes.
Maybe that's it.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Give the video a like. Remember to subscribe. We're almost up to 10,500. The quicker we can get there, the faster we can get to 11,000. So come on, everybody. Keep on going.
1 million.
Yes. And I'm going to give one last shout out. Ron Clark. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody who was there, it was great meeting you. All of the players, all of the fans. It was an awesome night. And I watched Sandra build a puzzle on the ground, which is not allowed. I don't care what anybody says. So I'm starting to wonder how the queen won. It might have been a little cheating going on. Anyway, bye, everybody.
See ya.